hit that.
All right, it's what you guys have been waiting for, and you even voted for this. It's the interview that we've been pointing toward for an entire week building up. We even have Kat in the studio and on the line right now. Happy Corbin, what's up this morning, bro?
Good morning, welcome.
Well, I was just jamming out the Journey song.
It's all you need to do.
That's a good way to get the day going.
So Bob and I are pretty much idiots when it comes to sports entertainment. We brought our friend Kat, who's a comedian, into the studio because she was going to teach us what we needed to do this properly. But then all our listeners were like, you guys are idiots. Let Kat run the interview. And Kat knows more
about...
She's
a true fan.
Kat knows more about you than you know about you, dude.
I like it. And you know what? All our fans would say I'm a big idiot, too. So we're all in the same boat.
Look, we're all there together. I mean, we have lots in common. I know that you're into bourbon and watches, so you instantly...
There you go. And motorcycles.
We'd love to hang out at some point. But
I'm down.
Okay, perfect. We're turning it over. Kat, take it away, girl.
You know, first of all, Baron, lovely to meet you. I have to ask you a question before we start any other subject matter. Before we go into it, I need to ask you, you have been vested Constable Corbin, you've been King Corbin, you've been Lone Wolf Corbin, you've been Happy Corbin, Sad Corbin, now you're back to happy again. But like you said earlier, the fans have been huge haters. It seems like you've been having a tough go lately. Are you still happy, Corbin? Where are we at with your mood?
My mood is still pretty good. I'm still living large. But yeah, rough go. Definitely, had a tough go at WrestleMania against Drew McIntyre. And then, you know, my associate, my employee, Madcap Moss, turned on me. Bastard. And unfortunately, I think I just taught him too much. So he got the best of me. And, yeah, it's been a rough go, but at the end of the day, I'm still living large from that huge win in Vegas from the casino. I got my bourbon, I got my watches, like the boy said. So yeah, man, I'm still happy. I just gotta get a winning streak going.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the Madcap Moss thing because I have two issues with this situation. First of all,
I got about 50, so we're
yeah, I know.
Yeah, and Kat taught us at Madcap, and she even showed us some clips last week. It's kind of ridiculous. He's wearing his suspenders, no shirt, telling some bad jokes, and then this guy turns on you.
Yeah, awful
joke. I know.
Joke.
Can you believe it?
You gave him everything. Sorry, Kat. You go ahead.
No, it was a very Plato Aristotle situation. It, as if he turned on. It was very philosophical what happened because Baron not only gave this man a job, he built him up, he taught him everything he knew, and not only did he turned on him repeatedly, and he didn't stick up for him when he needed him. And I want to know what was the screening process in hiring this guy.
Well, he was a guy who's down on his luck, kind of like I was for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a pretty bad run over there on Raw when he was part of the Raw Underground. He blew out his knee, and he was just looking for a fresh start. He was a football player in college. He played at Minnesota, had a quick little cup of tea in the NFL. So I was like, man, this guy's kind of like me. He's, you know, following the same path for me, you know, from college football to NFL to WWE. I was like, well, maybe we got some things in common. You know, it gets lonely on the road. I could have a good riding buddy to hit the gym with and, you know, help navigate. He's a terrible driver, by the way. So I he takes corners at like 95.
Jesus.
So it's not good. So I had to do all the driving. But, you know, he was good at finding restaurants and stuff like that. So we kind of clicked as like, you know, old college buddy would. But then I just don't, I don't know. I think the suspenders started cutting off circulation to his brain somehow.
Yeah.
And he just kind of lost his way.
And he took that bump on the neck pretty hard. That was insane.
I would
from
say
Drew.
That was probably the catalyst for him turning. It may have knocked him crazy or stupid, one of the two.
Yeah, he might have had a little bit of CTE there that turned him into a bit of a nutbag.
It wasn't too much success too soon kind of situation. With him?
For sure. I mean, he, you know, when I came up to WWE, I kind of had to pave my way and earn my stripes, and then I lost it all.
Then you gave him the key to the Golden Kingdom.
So, I did, man. He was on private jets with me. He was riding in nice cars. He was eating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I get that job? I mean, I'll be your wingman.
You can lead some people up. Let's go.
Yeah.
And Bob will turn on you in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I'll be your wingman.
He was like a vodka drinker. We don't really care for that.
Ooh.
No, trash liquor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? He was like, you know, it's just Kettle One or whatever that garbage you drink. It's like, I got to watch my figure. And I was like, man, this, I should have known right there that it was time to switch and move on. But I kept them around, and unfortunately, I paid for it.
And, you know, you said something interesting there. You said that he was an old football buddy. He reminded you a lot of you. And also, he does this horrible stand-up comedy gimmick. And now, look what we have coming up soon. We've got Pat McAfee, another stand-up comic, another ex-NFL guy who was actually, he was drafted in the same year you signed with the Colts in 2009. Is that correct?
Yeah, we played together in Indy.
Yeah, so what? Why are all these ex-football playing bad open micers coming for you, Corbin?
I think it's jealousy. I think they've seen my success, and it makes them jealous.
Well, and, you know, you had a really good burn on him. Do you remember? Well, not on him. I believe it was on Drew. You made that amazing joke about his mother being dead. I laughed so hard. I think you have a career as an open micer. Have you thought of showing them up in that way?
I mean, I definitely should. I think you could give me some tips because you're fully aware how bad they are.
And they're really bad.
They're a professional comedian, so you mm-hmm. understand what it takes, and you've seen how bad they are at what they do. So maybe you take me under your wing a little bit, and then we establish a good routine, and I just destroy them both there.
Listen, we're going to write you a type five, me and Matt, so that you can roast the hell out of this guy, because I'm tired of the suspenders. I'm tired of the disrespect. You are the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal champ before he was.
Man, what's with the suspenders? That's like a carrot top.
It's really
move,
crazy.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just not a good look for him. I tried to talk him out of it, but he insisted on it. And I was like, man, well, you are kind of the jester of the group, so we'll... Maybe some people will laugh at that, or little kids will think it's funny. And then, you know, we need a good material for Pat. Like, you can make fun of his terrible facial hair and terrible beard. And
we'll get him, dude. We'll roast him. It's going to be easy.
We got a lot of material for him.
Yeah, did you see that? Did you see that situation with Vince? I mean, we can make some memes out of that.
I'm with that for sure.
For sure. Now,
what's the situation? What's that for those of us that don't know?
Let me put it this way. Pat can't take a stunner, and nobody else in that ring could either. It was embarrassing.
Okay.
I'll have to show you
okay.
later.
All right.
We've seen better, for sure.
Yeah, we've for sure seen better. Speaking of stunners, that's one pretty good finisher. I would say one of the top three. And this is the part where I'm going to put you over hard, man. You have the best finisher, I think, of all time. It is amazing. The end of days, spectacular. Let's be honest. Drew, that was a fluke. That was bad luck. Something went wrong. I think that, I mean, who knows? Maybe it was a momentary fugue state you went into. I don't even count it. But
I don't either. There was like a big gust of wind. The referee was slow mm-hmm. to count.
Can you
there
just
was a lot of factors that went into play there that caused that to happen. So,
Happy, can you describe this this closer to us? This finisher, sorry.
So, yeah, at the end of the day, it puts people out for good. But basically, if they're running full speed, half speed, or if I just want to pull them in myself, I basically swing their legs over the top of their head and my head, and then I just slam them on their face as hard as I can.
Oh, that doesn't
feel
good.
And he spins them around as he does it. It's like watching a Soul Calibur move. It's insane. And it is brutal. I don't know.
Is it even legal?
In my world, it is.
Okay,
it
is. All right, good enough.
It shouldn't be because it's so brutal, but it is. But let me tell you something. One of the craziest moments I think I ever saw was when you delivered the end of days to Becky Lynch at Extreme Rules. Now, let me explain something in advance to the guys. First of all, intergender wrestling, very rare. And Vince has to really trust a guy to let him give a finisher to a female wrestler.
Okay.
So right away when that move happened, I thought, oh, Baron's going to be a future, you know, world champion. He's going to have the title soon. Because this is something that you have to be trusted to do. And Becky, I would say, was the most protected over person in the whole company at the time. And Baron was allowed to give her the most brutal finisher. I mean, she was destroyed after that, let's be honest. But it was an amazing moment. How much heat did you get for that?
It was one of the weirdest, like, reactions I've ever experienced. You know, I've been in the ring with The Rock, with Cena, mm-hmm. Kurt at WrestleMania, and I've had some really, really cool moments. But that one, because when I, like, you could hear the anticipation when I was kind of standing behind her. But then when I did it, it was like a huge, like, reaction of shock, right?
Yes.
And then it went really quiet when they realized what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, guttural booze.
Well, yeah, I mean, it must have looked really brutal.
It was.
And it was.
It's so crazy how it was just, like, excitement reaction of just, like, sheer surprise, then dead silence, and then just guttural booze.
Well, just like, from a marketing standpoint, was there a part of you that thought in the middle of putting this brutal finisher on a lady that it could be a bad move for you?
No, I never think about my actions.
That's why he's a little wolf, baby.
Later, or it works out good. But if I think about it, you know, bad things happen, and you, like, talk yourself out of it. I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to do it and see what happens.
Yeah, don't think, just act. That's how you got all that money at that casino, boy. You got to just go.
I'm watching a compilation on YouTube of EOD. Can I call them EODs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty impressive. It looks like it's going to go one way, boom, and it goes the other.
It's almost like a carnival ride.
It's like amazing that no one thought of that before.
I want to ask you.
I left it by complete accident.
Oh, really?
So I was playing around. Like in developmental, we have like a crash pad ring where the ring is kind of soft. And we were just kind of doing something. And one of the guys jumped at me and I caught him. And it just happened. And I sat up and I was like, oh, my God, that was something special. And it was born.
Yeah. I want to ask you about developmental because, okay, one of the first times we saw you was on Breaking Ground. And I will never forget this moment. It irritated me to my core, man. It was when Mojo Rawley walked up to you while you're trying to eat some lunch.
I was eating my lunch.
What was that? What was that? Eat the lunch. Eat the lunch. How's the lunch? Is the lunch good? And you reacted with, who the hell is this guy? Get out of my face. You're annoying. And then they branded you unreasonably angry. I was furious on your behalf. Why does this keep happening to you? Are you being gaslit?
For sure. Again, I go back to it being jealousy. In that situation, I was in the main event that night, and I'm not going to, you know, we set up the ring when we get to the building, and I'm not going to go do that. I'm going to enjoy my lunch. I'm not going to go out there with the peasants and put the ring together. I was above that at that point. I was in the main event, and he was a little butthurt about it, and so he was trying to give me trouble, and it did not work out well for him.
It did not, man. I got to ask you one more quick question. How did it feel to chunk Rey Mysterio off of a roof? That was insane.
I mean, he's one of the icons in our industry. He's been around for a very long time. He's done a lot of things, and he created like a standard for smaller guys. You know, everybody that comes into the business that is a little bit undersized, but, you know, it's the goal is I want to be the next Rey Mysterio, and there will never, ever be another Rey Mysterio. So I got it in my head. I said, well, you know, if he's one of the greatest ever, let's see if he can fly. And we happen to be on top of a 10-story building. And I just sent him over into the darkness. I have that mask on my wall at my house right now.
So you yeeted the greatest luchador of all time off of the roof of a 10-story building, man.
Wow.
And fun fact, that was one of the craziest Money in the Bank matches because the ring is on top of headquarters. It's cold. It's Connecticut. It's dark. It was, the wind was blowing. Probably when Oscar punched me in the head on top of the ladder, I fell off because of the wind. It was really, you know, gusty up there. So at least I made that thing. I think someone legit called the police that I murdered somebody.
So what's next for you, Happy?
You know, I feel like I'm going to work on my joke material here so we can destroy that. He was running his mouth last week, but we're coming to Austin. It's always a fun city to be in, and they love what we do, and they bring the energy. So, and to me, SmackDown's the number one show. It's the A show. It's where all the stars are.
True.
And, you know, you can't beat the food in Austin, that's for sure.
That's true, yeah. I know you're not, on the bill for SmackDown this Friday, but will you be in the city?
I will not be. I wish I was because I'd be eating there, and I got a friend, Jess Prowse, who's
we know.
Yeah, Jess is a regular
friend of our show. Well, that's so funny. We're figuring out all the contacts. Here's the thing: we got to figure out. The next time you're in town with Jess and barbecuing, a good-looking Chris, her husband. We got to hook you up with Kat as well. She's an incredible comic. And she literally got recently mugged by a gang jump-in thing. And at the end, she lost, but she held her own, and she knows how to throw a fist. So she knows a little bit about what's what you face every time you're in the ring.
I got shoot Royal Rumble.
I got a 3-year-old daughter that will offer you a knuckle sandwich real quick.
Great.
I'll sell it.
Well, thanks very much for calling in. You have a free pass. We'd love to chat with you anytime, and we'll speak to you soon, 100%. Man.
Hey, you're the best, Baron. Future champ, man. You better get that money in the bank and go after Brock.
Right. Anybody who's holding a title, just hit him on
anybody.
The head.
Take him out, bud.
EOD, baby. Sorry, Kat. I had it. Thank you, man.